And now another story about women, work, and breaking barriers. In Los Angeles yesterday, mourners held a private memorial service for Betty Page, who died last week at the age of 85. She was remembered as the dark-haired pin-up queen whose cheeky photographs, some nude, some featuring whips, and nearly always showing off killer black heels, made her the most famous pin-up of the post-World War II era. Sadie Stein is the associate editor at Jezebel, a blog by, for, and about women. She ran an obit on Betty Page last week that received many responses from Jezebel readers, and she joins us now from our New York bureau to talk about it. Welcome, Sadie. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, who was Betty Page, and what do you think made her stand out among all the other pinup queens of the era?
I think it's probably a combination of factors. For one thing, she had a very distinctive look. She had that dark bang, which became so iconic in the 90s. She was naturally beautiful. And she had a certain, some of the pictures, especially the Bunny Yeager photos, had a certain campy appeal, which I think appeals to a wide range of people.
You talked about the fact that those bangs, that bang, those, the dark hair with the red lips was revived, that it became kind of a signature look again. I think a lot of people will remember Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
Sure.
She kind of was channeling Betty Page in that role. What did your readers have to say when you ran the Betty Page obit last week? You got a lot of responses.
Oh, we sure did. I mean, it really ran the gamut. Someone said, "She posed as though she was in a 50s ad for pancake syrup or something, a smiling, innocent housewife, but she was in bondage gear and totally comfortable with her nudity. She had a unique style that defined her as an icon." Someone else said, "No image seemed forced or contrived. Even when she was playing a character, she had a genuine quality about her."
And then, interesting. Some people thought that she doesn't deserve all this attention. In fact, I want to mention that there was a big story in the New York Times mm-hmm. noting her passing and a lot of other major papers. But there are some people who were not feeling that, as I recall.
There were those who sort of objected to romanticizing what was essentially what they regarded as someone doing demeaning work for men in a time that demeaned women. And others who felt we were simply romanticizing what was in many ways a fairly sordid world, which she made the best of, but which was nevertheless nothing particularly empowering. And there's a couple of really intelligent responses I thought I'd quote from. Someone wrote, "Anyone who uses their bodies as a commercial vehicle, whether it's hooking or doing porn, gets an automatic sexually positive and progressive sticker smacked on them nowadays. One, it's usually false to assume this, and two, detrimental more than it is a positive thing for women and humanity." Someone else wrote, "She is a sad and tragic figure, molested as a child, had several failed marriages, and suffered mental illness. The woman in the photo was just posing for an S&M vision that was not her vision. It was the creation of a photographer for and by men."
Well, you know, that is true. And what's interesting about it is that on her own website, which I think her publicist maintain, mm-hmm. she discloses the fact that she was molested as a child.
Yes.
And that she did struggle with poverty
sure.
throughout her life. She had two marriages, both of which ended in divorce. And as I also understand it, she became a born-again Christian at some point in her life and refused to be photographed subsequently.
True.
Now, that's very – how do you put all that together, Sadie? What do you think?
Well, I think for one thing – I think it's somewhat patronizing to say that because she was molested and suffered, she couldn't put any joy into her career or take anything healthy away from it. Whatever you say about her career trajectory, and it is, I think, dangerous to romanticize it, she brought to it a certain uninhibited fun and even a certain dignity, which has really resonated with people. And I think more to the point, she never disowned a real pride in her nudity. She never brought any shame to nudity or sexuality, which has really resonated with people.
You know what's interesting? She was quoted in a New York Times story in 2006. Now, I mentioned that she did embrace what many people would consider conservative Christianity later mm-hmm. in life, but she also was quoted as saying the reason she did not want to be photographed later in life is not that she was ashamed of her earlier work, but that she just wanted to be remembered when she was, quote, young and in my golden times.
Exactly.
And she also expressed a lot of pride in changing people's perspectives concerning nudity in its natural form. That's how she was quoted
yeah.
back in the day.
I mean, natural form kind of interpreted loosely, considering she was, you know, in Jane of the Jungle outfits.
Good point. And, of course, the Santa hat is a classic.
Oh, yes.
Where she's putting, I must tell you, we didn't, that wasn't my outfit when I decorated my tree, but maybe that's just me. So, finally, Sadie, do you think that there's a Betty Page of today?
Huh, that's an interesting question. And you know what? I think in some ways there couldn't be, because part of what makes her unique and part of what makes her mysterious is that she was purely a photographic figure. No one knew how she sounded or how she behaved. She was all about mystery. And I think there was such an innocence and a joy to what she did. She did the work because it paid better than being a secretary. She wasn't trying to make any kind of statement. I don't know that anyone can do that nowadays. Anyone who did, I think we would hardly embrace as an icon, but think it was someone who is probably being taken advantage of.
Sadie Stein is the associate editor at the blog Jezebel. She was kind enough to join us from NPR's New York Bureau. Sadie Stein, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.